Hello everyone, this is Dr. Sudhi Mohandas, the co-founder and managing director of iFirst International. We are an organization that has its mission set out to professionalize the nonprofit sector or any cause-based organization or enterprise such they are able to achieve their mission. Today I'm at the SPCA Selangor premise in Ampang Jaya, Selangor, and with me is Ms. Christine Chin, the honorary chair of SPCA Selangor. SPCA, or the Society for the Prevention and Cruelty to Animals, was founded in 1958. SPCA is a well-respected and trusted animal welfare non-profit organization. The aim of the SPCA is to protect defenseless animals and to alleviate their suffering. They provide an adoption program, investigation of cruelty reports, humane education, assistance to community animal caregivers, and run a dedicated low-cost spay-neuter clinic. They are also able to lobby the government and local municipalities for humane treatment of animals and harsher penalties for perpetrators of crimes against animals. Over the years, the organization has gained tremendous goodwill, recognition and support from animal lovers all over Malaysia. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you.
I would like to talk to you about how SPCA managed to get to where it is from the early days of difficult and tough challenges. So yeah. Tell us, what were those challenges in the early days when SPCA had started, and why was that so?
Okay, first of all, thank you very much, and for inviting me to speak with you as well. Well, first, I love animals. I've been with the SPCA for 27 years, almost a generation and a half, and chairman for the last 12 years. I have a deep passion to change the animal situation in Malaysia. And I decided that, you could do it as an activist, or you could do it within an institution as an activist also, and as a proponent of advocacy. And I felt that, it is very important to do it within an institution where you bring the institution to a level of integrity, capability, honesty, where people feel that they can, trust you, not just with the money, but with action that we deliver. So the early stages, the early days when SPCA started, we just had a reception and 8 workers in the kennels, 2 vets. But although that was, a shoestring operation, when I came in 27 years ago, and as an accountant, as we are all very structured and we see how we allocate resources. First of all, we had hardly any resources to allocate, and the dumping was a lot. So we had to see how to, obviously hire talented people. Not just talent, because talent is expensive. You also want passionate, and you want people who are also in terms of management, in terms of in the kennels, but you also need to have a good board that set an example, that a board that is a diverse in their capabilities, professional capabilities, and in their fundraising capabilities. So as time went on, I tried to look for board members who are passionate. Now, they may not want to do all the dirty work, the daily, but which is fine with me, because at the end of the day, a board should provide things that that the management cannot do. Although the management can do a lot of things that we, of course, managing the people, hiring people, we don't have the or the management doesn't have the capability to fundraise. So the board has to do the fundraising, and which means the things that are non-operational. The operational revenue has to come from producing a better product, producing a better service. So I decided to have 2 major areas of revenue. One is operational revenue and one is fundraising. Actually, most NGOs depend on 40% fundraising, 60% operational revenue, which I think we fall right into it. So I had to make sure that in operational revenue, I had to structure certain streams of income to cover 60%. And that itself, to be honest, I think, luckily, I'm an accountant, that I could, I was able to identify and very quickly do that. So the early challenges were funding, obviously, finding the right mix of people. And there are many people that want to work, as you know, but, they may not have the talent, they may not have the quality, they may not have the passion. So it is a interesting combination, because in Asian society, you don't have people that want to work in an NGO.
Right.
You know, we are all geared towards either corporate, you know, and so for to find people to want to work and be passionate daily, it is a challenge. And it continues to be a challenge.
So that was that's a very interesting historical insight that you just shared. Can you share with us some of those, during that time, some of those management concerns that you were going through and decisions that you had to make that helped turn around from where you were then to where it is now?
Okay. Well, one of the very basic, for example, is cash flow management. When people come, we have this very strong receipt culture. So everybody is given receipts. And there's no such thing as, oh, it's okay. No, it is a big thing that for me to instill upon everyone at the front desk that you must always give a receipt. So it is a very strong receipt culture, which is very, very important. And also, when it comes to, okay, we are, SPCA is a visual, what you see now is the visual aspect of SPCA, as you said, you know, the adoption center. We also do downstream and upstream stuff. For example, we decided upstream humane education is very important. So we, with the funds, we hired education officer. But it was slow because we had to multitask. Mm. I always tell people when you come in is you got to do multitask, but you will have a call. Okay, so we get, you know, managed to get education, managed to help to have an inspector to go out to you know to look at cases. Mm. So the important thing I felt that was SPCA has to be, if you want to use the word brand, that brand has to be alive. It must be seen on the press. It must be seen at exhibitions. It must be seen in schools. So I made it a point to do all these three before social media came. You know, now I think in social media, our Facebook is the only social media print, social media, what that we are doing. I know we need more Instagram, but then, you know, it's always challenging to keep up, to be honest, okay? So apart from the fact of the usual management issues, I implement and I monitor, and it's almost a daily thing. I mean, I've been daily, I know what's happening in SPCA. So I the SOP I write, you know, all these things I write, because really at the end of the day there is no one to do that. So I make a lot of effort to do all that, and I'm always open to everybody. I ask them what's the best thing they for views in areas that I'm not very familiar with, if I'm not on the ground, but I always ask them for view. My door is always open. So we have a very strong culture, not just of course, you know, financial prudence as well, but also of, you know, we discuss everything, and don't be afraid to come and talk to me. Even though I've been there for 27 years, some people think, you know, they're worried, but no, you know. And I think it's very important to appreciate the people that you work with, no matter what, and to understand everybody's stage of life, you know. For example, our management is such that we cannot find very, very good animal welfare carers, and we notice that people who do that are mainly people who have retired or who are young students coming in as interns. So we manage according to what the market gives us. So we have to be on the ball. We always educate the interns, give them some time, or retired people, or people who decide, I'm going to give 3 months of my life to SPCA. So we have this sort of people, although we must have a core, we must hire a core team. But the peripheral part, we also plan so that we welcome, these are all mainly volunteers, interns, so we welcome people like that, and we match it. We don't put a square peg in a round hole. So while we do have, you know, SOP for animal welfare, and when animals come in, and you know how to feed animals, what we feed and all that. While we have that, we also see how to fit the person into that particular job. Even if it's volunteer, I'm talking about volunteers, of core. So we need to do that, because we don't want to spend too much money hiring a big staff. So we are very lean, and I would say we are almost only 30% of our expenses go to human resource. Unfortunately, we should be spending more, to be honest. But we are so lean that we get a lot of volunteer participation and good volunteer participation. So you have people, like I said, who are retired, who are entrepreneurs, who are lawyers, who are accountants, who are is willing to actually give time. But ultimately, to be honest, it is always one or two people that are driving the whole
thing.
Sure, sure. So you must make sure that the people who are leaders and driving the whole thing, you know, have the energy and that deep passion to just see through everything, every day, every year.
So that's that is certainly some interesting management insight into how things have been. So moving forward or looking forward, what do you see in the next wave of issues or obstacles for SPCA in terms of what you need to overcome?
We have already liaised and lobbied the government for the new Animal Welfare Act, which is a huge, you know, benchmark for us. The new Animal Welfare Act was tabled in 2015. I do have a very good relationship with the DBS, who are the ones who authored it, and for many years, you know, I actually even copied the one in UK, photocopied and gave it to them and said, look, it's about time we improve it. And so of course that took another 10 years before, or 15 years before they started on it, and then finally now they have tabled it. And you know, so that itself is a very big because before we can move on to any big, huge catalyst change, we need legislation to be behind you. You need to have, you need that. So that plus, of course, education. Education is a long-range thing, it's not short-term, but we must be an area of for people to come and learn. You know, even if it's just basic animal husbandry, basic cleaning, how many times a cat is fed, how many times a dog is fed, what to see when a cat is sick, how do you see a dog is sick, you know? Just very, very basic, at least they learn. And I'm very happy if they come and learn and they move along, and hopefully in their lives, you know, when they become parents, let's say the young kids, when they come, they become parents, say, oh, I was at the SPCA, it was a lovely experience for me, so I want to send. So these are the things that I want to see. And the one of the things that we want to overcome is, of course, the latest one called Stray Free Malaysia. It is very important, Stray Free Selangor. It is very important when we do important campaigns in Malaysia to have high profile, respected people behind it. For example, as you know, Tengku Permaisuri Selangor was a, you know, got her to be the patron for Stray Free Selangor, and she managed to, you know, garner funds for our spay neuter campaign. That is very important. We are very lucky that, you know, by chance, my friend's sister married the Sultan, and when she told me, I immediately know what I wanted, you know. And I'm very certain when I want something, I plan thoroughly. So plan, and do also. So I hope planning the right direction, obviously, you know.
Sure.
Because you can always plan in the wrong direction. So all these things, we must be aware of political nuances, public nuances, and know when to hammer when it's hot, and know when to let go when it's not, because you know, we can hire very fast.
Yes.
So it is something that I think I have an aptitude for, you know, and I don't know, I feel that there's so many other areas that we can improve would be also the ideological block about Muslims and dogs. In reality, it really is an ideological block, because really they are very kind to animals. They have a kindness that is actually more prevalent than in many other races. But it is highlighted by some areas where, you know, when people throw dogs and people throw stones and all that. So I think it is an ideological block that can be changed slowly through, you know, interaction, through education a bit. Because at the end of the day, let's say, people are always saying Muslims are not good to dogs, but they are good to cats. So they also see it as God's creatures. So slowly you permeate through that. It seems to work nicely, you know.
Okay.
So we must understand the public, religious, political nuances and understand how to reach it.
Right.
You cannot just hammer it without looking with everything else. So I think that is something very important when you the things that I see we can help overcome. And also the last but not least would be the strays in the roads, especially dogs that are taken and put down and, you know, killed. Now we feel that you know, there are rescuers that are helping them, so we reach out to these rescuers to help these and as you say, turn them into community animals. And because at the end of the day, the municipal councils have just one thing. They don't want to see too many animals in the streets, number one, and they don't want to have nuisance on the streets. So they have to clear the streets. So we say, okay, we understand, but we also want a caring community that understands that we may have to live with some strays. So let's say cats. We tip the year, the Stray Free funds it. We tip the year, we release. So people are aware, oh, this cat has been tipped. It's a universal sign. So therefore, if we feed and look after, it won't breed, at least on the streets. Similarly for dogs. But of course, you know, only in caring communities. So you must brand your projects to be acceptable, palatable to, you know, to the citizens. And if some citizens who say, look, I do not want to see dogs in this area, fine. I mean, you have the right not to say that. So, so because they could be a nuisance, your family, you know, is scared or whatever, it's fine. So these dogs should not be there. They should be taken somewhere else, and maybe, you know, and may have to be put down sometimes. We have to accept that. You know, we cannot have everything our way. But it is important to have the core principles and the core values to go through humane education, and to ensure that, you know, our advocacy is strong, is credible, and that our funding is our management of cash is very important.
Okay, good. Well, that's very interesting. So you have it there, people. Christine, on a quick snapshot view on the past, present, and future of SPCA. This information is so crucial to many non-profit organizations who are looking to be successful. This is Dr. Sudhi Mohandas signing off with a message to share this audio interview with others. You can check us out on www.ifirstinternational.com.